Sick of the lies, deception, spin, and half-truths? Well, so are we. You're listening to Truth News Radio Australia. Tune in every week at truthnews.com.au or subscribe to the podcast with iTunes or your favourite podcatcher.
Okay, well, moving along as we must. We've got, you know, we have to be more focused because we've got all these little wars, we've got all these little battles we're trying to fight, you know, and we've got to deal with one, then move on to the next.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's a little battle that's been won. I mean, the battle against this whole concept of anthropogenic greenhouse gas concentrations causing, you know, CO, causing global warming. Senator Ron Paul of the United States has just submitted a petition signed by 31,478 scientists. 31,478 scientists.
So, folks. Fantastic. And Ron Paul has signed that petition now, has he?
Yeah, and he's put that into the Congress, the House of Representatives, to say, hey, let's relook at this cap and trade legislation.
Look, folks.
Which they're trying to rush through.
31,000. Okay, remember that. Listen to it. Google it yourself.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people, I've had many discussions, most people don't even know about this. They're not even aware of it. They're amazed. And they tend to not believe you, okay? Because what they've heard is the consensus. They keep hearing consensus. You know, IPCC. Yeah. You know,
there's no such thing as a consensus.
Okay. Well, you know, even if there was a consensus, it wouldn't prove anything. But guess what? There isn't a consensus. Ah, okay. So, anyway, sorry.
Well, the good thing is that these 31,000 scientists, they're actually also built a group like the IPCC. And they have, because this is the only thing that's stopping, you know, we've got all these scientists, but we haven't got the badge, you know, the badge that says, you know, like we haven't got the IPCC. And now that it has come into play, and they're calling themselves the non-intergovernmental climate change.
Yes,
because,
yes.
You know, that's, folks, that's what it is. It's all governmental. It's all about politics. It is no science. I mean, just look at the name, intergovernmental, you know, panel on climate change.
That's,
you know,
scary, isn't it?
It's all a joke. It's all a big tax fraud. So I actually had a funny debate today with a girl at work, and she said, "Oh, you're having a rant today. Have a rant on this guy from the Family First Party. You know, he's saying that, you know, that the science isn't conclusive." And I said, "Actually, it isn't. You know, I quite agree with him. You know, I don't agree with him with a lot of things, but you know, I agree with him on that." And she said, "What?" And then I talked her through some of the concepts, and she was sort of blown away. Like,
look,
you've sort of, you know, put a little bit of doubt in my mind, and said, "Well, have a look at the science. I don't want to believe it either." And I'm not saying that humans aren't creating, you know, a lot of global problems, which they are. You know, we have massive problems, environmental issues that we have to deal with as a human species. But right now, the whole concept of anthropogenic causes of climate change really is taking all the focus from the massive deforestation, the species of thousands of amazing creatures being wiped out through, you know, just usually through governmental proceeds and plans, like the government's wiping of the rainforests in vast areas of the world. And also, you know, right now, for instance, there's a up near Broome, Woodside Petroleum want to put a gas plant up near the Kimberleys. Hang on, is it the Kimberley's.
Yeah, probably, in that area, yeah.
Yeah, and it's pristine up there. It is absolutely pristine. And Woodside has said, oh, well, you know, it costs just a little bit more to pipe down to a plant that we've got just down the... we have to put 1,000 miles of pipe instead of 400, but we don't have to pay for the huge new plant, so we're willing to do that. But the government's like saying, no, we want it here. We want it up in, James Price Point, because then we can actually start mining the Kimberleys.
Right.
You know, so we have these sort of situations where government's just going around, you know, getting ready to mine huge parts of pristine areas of our country, and where are all the Greens? They're all worried about this ridiculous climate change, which is just totally unscientific. All the science has been...
But to be honest, what's happened with... And we covered the Steve Fielding story last week on the show. Now, but what's actually happened is the global warming lobby has actually gained from what Steve Fielding has done. This is what I've, you know, always been concerned about, is that, see, for one, Steve Fielding comes from this ultra-conservative political party. A lot of his other political views are probably some things that people with a libertarian bent would totally disagree with. And the final nail in the coffin...
Look, I'm the first to admit Steve Fielding is just totally ridiculous on a lot of subject, and I'm, as a libertarian myself, I think his views are extremely, you know...
And it's being used to discredit what, you know, basically what we're trying to say on this show. And it's really, it's a very disturbing trend when you see this type of thing happen, when you see discreditation occurring. Now, the other side of it is the conference he went to, which was run by this organization called the Heartland Institute. And now a lot of mileage has been made out of the fact that the Heartland Institute has put out statements saying that the evidence that smoking causes cancer is overrated, and that, you know, smoking is okay, you know. And the fact is that this particular conference was organized by this group called, well, not organized, I'm sure it wasn't, like, it's not that they're behind the movement. The movement is huge. There's thousands of independent scientists. It's just that this was the particular organization that hosted the event.
Yeah.
Now, I mean... The problem is, when you don't belong to the mainstream and you have to go with whatever facilities you can get to organize an event, it's very easy for some organization that may have some other agendas to slip through the net to do that. And I'm sure the scientists involved in this don't think smoking is good for you. I mean, it's not, I mean, that's not a view that goes with questioning global warming. It's a ridiculous assertion. But this is what is now being done. The two are being conflated together. And I've seen it now in three different places. I've seen it on the radio. It occurred in several articles. And it's incredibly sinister information warfare tactic that they are using in this case. I must say, it's astounding. And it's evil, okay, what they are doing in order to discredit science.
Oh, it's like saying that there's soccer hooligans, that all soccer people that watch soccer are hooligans. I mean, it's absurd. It's an absurd assertion, and you know, I mean, look, the conspiratorial circles of the world are very prone to connecting dots and instantly asserting that people are very connected because they're, you know. Because they know this person and their job was this and this, and so they have been controlled by, you know, three jobs ago and this sort of thing, which does happen. I mean, there's revolving doors and all this stuff. But to instantly, you know, write off 31,000 scientists because there's, you know, because the conference was held by some lunatic who thinks smoking's good for you. You know, I mean, you really can't... It's really ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And this is typical of someone who just wants to cut down the argument. They'll just go, right, let's make a straw man argument about, you know, how smoking's actually good or bad for you. I mean, it's just a ridiculous argument. Of course it's bad for you.
You know, continually avoiding the evidence. continually skirting around the facts that it is getting cooler, the fact that the Antarctic ice is getting bigger, okay? Now, I've got two articles which I've dredged up. One was sent to me by a friend who genuinely wanted to convince me that my views were wrong. And it was it had a quote in it from the head of the Antarctic Research Division. I think the name is Ian Allison. I've got it here. And the article asserts that Antarctic ice is shrinking.
Mm.
But the same person that they quote was quoted in another article saying that the Antarctic ice was growing. But in the second article, they've kind of quoted him out of context. You can tell by reading it. It's not a direct quote. It's like they've pitched the article to state something, and they've taken a tiny snippet of what he said. But then if you actually find out what his bigger statement is, which came out about 2 months ago, is that, in fact, the Antarctic ice is growing. And
no, that's right. Folks, you can look it up yourself. I mean, there was an article in The Australian back in April saying Antarctic ice is growing, not melting away. Antarctic ice, contrary to the widespread public belief that global warming is melting the continental ice caps. You know, I mean, it's growing, folks. It's there's just so much evidence out there. It's ridiculous. And I'm, you know, by saying, oh, this winter's been really freezing, you know, that's just a weather thing. It could be freezing for a lot of different reasons and climate change. But it literally is. The globe has been cooling on a since 98 or 93?
Since 98, there's strong evidence that the actual global temperatures are going down. Although, you know, it's always an imprecise thing, because how do you tell the temperature of the globe? It's not that easy, okay?
Oh, it's a very hard thing to tell the temperature of the globe, so you don't really know. It's very imprecise. But in general, you know, I mean, we're just, the globes always go up and down and around, and meanwhile, we're letting extreme atrocities to this planet happen because we're not focused on the right things.
Indeed. Look, I just want to quote from these two articles because I think it's quite an interesting exercise in deconstructing the media and the media brainwashing programs. Now, the one I was talking to you that I read this week was published on June 13, and the title of the article is "Sensors Too Old to Check Ice." And I'll just read to you from that article. What it says is, it's by Andrew Darby in Hobart. Antarctic scientists warn that they risk going blind to changes in climatically vital polar ice sheets because the most valuable satellite sensors are too old. Long gaps in monitoring the ice sheets that lock up most of Earth's fresh water are likely, a draft report of the International Scientific Committee for Antarctic Research says. Ian Allison of the Antarctic Climate and Ecosystems Cooperative Research Centre said the greatest uncertainty in sea level rise projections was how ice sheets would behave. Releasing an official position statement on Antarctic ice by the research centre yesterday, Dr. Allison said the main concern in understanding the rise was whether rates of ice melt from land-bound Antarctic ice would increase. And now there's some quotes here. Open quote. It's now quite clear it is losing mass equivalent to about a quarter of a centimetre, now square brackets, sea level rise, close square brackets, per year, he said. Okay. Now, it's a bit hard to get the gist of this unless you actually read it. But what they've done there is they've put a statement of his in double quotes. But in the middle of the double quote, they've put square brackets, okay? Now, what square brackets usually means in my understanding is that that's something that has been an editorial decision has been made to put that in there. It's not what he actually said, okay, to explain it for you, right? So I'll read it again. It is now quite clear it is losing mass equivalent to about a quarter of a centimetre brackets sea level rise per year, he said. Now, why did they feel the need to put that extra bit of information for us in square brackets? I think the reason is because he didn't say that, and they're inferring that that's what he means.
Mm.
I don't know that that's what he means, okay? Maybe he's just saying that the Antarctic ice is losing a quarter centimetre of a year, okay, which is a tiny amount. But even then, that is completely contradicted by what he said in another article on April 18, okay, which is only 2 months before, okay, less than 2 months before. And, you know, I don't think that the situation has dramatically changed in that period of time, okay? And here is the article from April 18 by Greg Roberts, reporting in The Australian. Ice is expanding in much of Antarctica, contrary to the widespread public belief that global warming is melting the continental ice cap. The results of ice core drilling and sea ice monitoring indicate that there is no large-scale melting of ice over most of Antarctica, although experts are concerned at ice losses on the continent's western coast. Antarctica has 90% of the Earth's ice and 80% of its fresh water. Okay, I'm just fast-forwarding here.
That's amazing.
The picture... So what they're saying now is that the there is melting in West Antarctica, and ice is melting in parts of Western Antarctica. The destabilization of the Wilkins ice shelf generated international headlines. However, the picture is very different in East Antarctica, which includes the territory claimed by Australia. Eastern Antarctica is four times the size of West Antarctica, okay? Much huger area. It's massive. Parts of it are cooling. The Scientific Committee on Antarctic Research report prepared for last week's meeting of the Antarctic Treaty Nations noted that the South Pole had shown significant cooling in recent decades. Australian Antarctic Division Glaciology Program head Ian Allison said sea ice losses in West Antarctica over the past 30 years had been more than offset by increases in the Ross Sea region, just one sector of East Antarctica. Can you understand that? Can you appreciate this? In just one sector in the Ross Sea region has exceeded all of the ice lost in West Antarctica. Okay?
It's amazing. Yeah.
Now, it's a longish article, so I won't read the whole thing. Just a couple more short quotes here. Dr. Allison said there was not any evidence of significant change in the mass of ice shelves in eastern Antarctica, nor any indication that its ice cap was melting. Ice shelves in general have episodic carvings, and there can be large icebergs breaking off. So, and the very last statement here in the article says, a paper to be published soon by the British Antarctic Survey in the journal Geophysical Research is expected to confirm that over the past 30 years, the area of sea ice around the continent has expanded. Okay? 30 years. That's the whole period for which they're claiming global warming has been taking place. The ice around Antarctica. And this is a respected peer-reviewed journal. I mean, look, we are in this show trying to counteract the relentless bombardment of propaganda for global warming. We have to repeat this over and over again, and I'm not going to apologize for continuing on this theme again and again as much as what you get it on any news channel, BBC, CNN, over and over again. They keep telling you about the global warming. We're going to keep telling you over and over again the facts that go against it.
Yeah, I mean, we're not going to harp on, but it's important to get the facts as they come to us out from the other side of the argument, which is very, very important because they're literally talking about the most important legislation ever to go through the Australian parliaments in my lifetime and in my parents' lifetime. Basically, a total economic revamp due to carbon credits. And when you say carbon credits, it's a sort of a vague term. What you're really saying is a new monetary system based around, a new taxation system based around carbon emissions and carbon trading. And I mean, it's absolutely huge. Please don't think, folks, that this is just some little bit of, you know, legislation. This is bigger than GST. Way bigger.
Yeah. Do not underestimate the importance of this story.
When you're sick of the propaganda, when you're over the disinformation, when you can't stand the deception, when the deceit gets too much, when the spin becomes transparent, you know where to turn. You turn on truthnews.com.au with your hosts, Harold Fenton and Joshua Jackson.
Okay, final section for tonight. Look, we do need to talk about Iran, okay? There are probably some other important stories, but Iran is, this is a breaking story. You know, it's an unfolding story. I've picked up some things recently. What have you got there, Josh? Because,
So Twitter says, Iran maintenance delay decision not made with State Department. So I have an article here on news.com.au that, the U.S. State Department says it asked Twitter to delay an upgrade that would have cut daytime service to Iranians disputing their election.
So what do they mean when they say delay an upgrade? I don't even understand delaying an upgrade.
Well, I guess when there's an upgrade, there's a downtime. And Twitter has now become a very mainstream form of SMS. If the folks listen to this,
I see. I get it. Okay, so what they're saying is, they want to. They're so humanitarian, you know. They really want to encourage dissent in Iran because they believe in freedom. Yeah, okay, all right. That's a bit lame. I don't know.
It's just this constant sort of
I
mean, why should they even have a say in it in another country's own thing? You know. I mean, really.
Oh, well, I'll tell you why. Because they represent the international community, Josh. Haven't you heard that phrase? The international community is very concerned about Iran because of their nuclear ambitions. Did you know that? And, you know, the international community may actually have to take action, including, like, bombing and killing children, maiming them, frying them in their bomb shelters. Because we're so concerned, you see. We're going to have to kill thousands of people there to teach them a lesson.
Well, absolutely. You know, if they don't have a true, good, vote.
We just have to murder them. That's what we have to do.
We have to bomb them. You know, we have to kill children because, you know, they didn't have a proper election. I mean, that's how caring, you know, international.
We use our very caring DU-tipped bunker buster nukes because we're so caring. You see, we've invented these amazing weapons that can penetrate deep into the ground and destroy and kill, you know. That's how caring the international community really is.
Yeah. And
I'm getting carried away with myself. Continue.
No, and you know, the thing is that's the sort of half seen side of these sort of international communities caring side. What about all the, all the taxes on any imports or exports that these countries have? Or, I mean, really, that's another killer. What about trade? You know, let's start trading with people again properly. You know, let the middle class grow in these sort of countries. I mean, already Iran had a massive dissenting population. Of these sort of dictatorships, the youth of Iran were already very, pro-Western and starting to live a more of a middle class lifestyle, and now they're getting more and more pissed off because the US is sort of interfering with elections and.
Well, I guess the point I want to make is that yes, there is unrest in Iran. Okay. The Iranian government is probably not, good. You know, they're probably not good. Okay.
Oh, the Iranian government's crap as well.
But what we're seeing, and I just want to highlight the fact that there has been incontrovertible evidence over the past few years that the United States is destabilizing Iran. And there has been no evidence that those activities have stopped, okay? The covert activities of the CIA are continuing, and this was reported on earlier this year. And I'd just like to play a little from a YouTube video that came my way today that highlights some of the known activities that have been going on in Iran over just the past few years. So I'm just going to kick off this video now.
Welcome, I'm Brian Ross, Chief Investigative Correspondent for ABC News. Today, an in-depth look at a very big story, Iran and the CIA.
Oh, sorry, I should have been reading the captions here. The British Telegraph and many other news sources reported... Oh, sorry, it came up too quick. The CIA will also be allowed to supply communications equipment which would enable opposition groups in Iran to work together. Iran protests U.S. spying. Iran protests purported U.S. spying.
Current and former intelligence officials tell ABC News that the CIA has received secret presidential approval to mount what is known as a black or covert operation to destabilize the Iranian regime, and that it is now underway.
She is an American citizen, and I have complete confidence that she was not engaging in any sort of espionage. She's an Iranian-American who was interested in the country which her family came from.
Journalist copied Iranian report on U.S. in Iraq. Secret war report led to spy charges for Roxana. Washington Post and other news sources reported that Roxana Saberi had copied confidential Iranian document government reports out of curiosity.
The officials say President Bush gave his approval with the formal signing of a presidential finding, a secret document that authorized the CIA to act against Iran.
Any action, lethal or non-lethal, that is U.S. government sponsored, but the U.S. government is hiding its sponsorship, requires an intelligence finding.
It's the biggest unrest seen in the Iranian capital since the 1979 revolution. Thousands of supporters of pro-reform candidate Mir Hussein Mousavi clashed with police. They claim victory has been
intelligence
stolen.
Intelligence officials described the CIA's Iranian plan as non-lethal, involving a coordinated campaign of propaganda broadcasts, placement of negative newspaper articles, and the manipulation of Iran's currency and international banking transactions.
To prevent the unrest from spreading, authorities have blocked the country's mobile phone network and some internet sites.
Facebook is young Iranian's main link with Mousavi headquarters. Now that
okay, I'm just going to pause it there. We'll put a link up to this on the show notes. The point of this video is that it highlights, and I think it does it in quite a clever way, it just it interleaves known reports of what we've seen being done, and even recent things like the Roxana Saberi incident. She was a journalist who was arrested in Iran for espionage, and we see Obama there claiming that it's all totally outrageous, and then we see evidence that she had copied sensitive government information. Okay? The disinformation war on this issue is obviously huge. We're not going to be in a position from listening to any of the main news reports to understand what is going on in Iran. But what appears to be taking place from my study of it, having watched this for several years, is that the US CIA is doing one of their classic regime toppling exercises. They are trying to topple a regime, okay? I mean, they've done it so many times in the past. They did it to Iran in the 1950s, and Obama even admitted it. But they don't stop. And the propaganda and the lies from this level of government never seems to stop. Josh, what do you think about that?
The CIA is basically, you know, they are a vast section of the CIA is basically based on propaganda and manipulation of foreign policy. and intelligence gathering. Now, you have the CIA. I mean, look, the CIA in 1953 overthrew Mossadegh. Well, engineered the overthrow of Mossadegh in Iran. He was a democratically elected leader. And they basically put back in, you know, overthrew him and put back the Ayatollah's reign, and I mean, put back a dictator. So they overthrew some sort of, you know, democratically elected leader. So to put in place a dictator. Now, what does that say? That says to me that these people don't really care for democracy at all or freedoms. It's more of a control web to control, you know. Empire.
And Iran has never been an aggressor. Iran has not invaded other countries. They took the hostages in 1979, but in the end they let them all go, okay? And that was after the revolution to throw out the Shah of Iran, who was put there by the CIA, okay? It was a totally corrupt government, which the People's Revolution, a massive popular movement...
Mm.
Of, yes, it was Islamic, okay, but that's what happens when people become radicalized. And had they not been so repressed, it might not have ended up becoming a radical Islamic movement. It might have been more just a democratic society, which is the way it was heading until the US government decided to, you know, control it because they weren't going to behave the way they were required. Look, for those of us
A lot of it is also based on the fact that they, didn't want, you know, the U.S. as a world reserve currency and dealing with the oil and you know, there's so much at play here, with the American dollar being the reserve currency of the world. That really is a huge factor. And I mean, that's slipping right now. I mean, you've got the euro really growing in the sense of the word every day. You've got the American dollar absolutely, you know, falling and soon to go into hyperinflation if they just keep on printing like crazy. I mean, it is just bound to happen. You've got Russia using the euro as an oil trading currency it really is in the last days. So I think the Americans really are now not the American people, but the criminal elite that have taken over the American government are really using the gun and you know, typical methods of trying to manipulate, you know, a normal democratic process. Now, for them to go out and say also that the Iranian elections were rigged. I mean, I've never seen a more rigged election than the Bush election. You know, I mean, it's just so obscenely dodgy. It was never looked into properly.
I just think it's really important because we don't know what's going to happen. Okay, we don't know if there might be a war with Iran, whether the government there might be engaged in some sort of internal civil war. We don't know what the outcomes of that may be. But when I see these kind of events taking place, you've got to nip it in the bud. You've got to understand what's going on. You've got to understand the brainwashing program that is going on all the time. And it's, you know, if you listen to the news now, you'll hear these continuous reports about some sort of massive movement against the government in Iran and the government, taking actions against the people. Now, what we heard, this reminds me of Venezuela, because a similar thing happened in Venezuela. And years later, John Pilger went down there and he did an excellent expose on it. And he showed that the whole thing had been co-opted and controlled, that CNN was totally, criminally complicit in lying about what was really going on. But it creates this giant impression in people's minds, which they can't, it's very hard to shake. When you repeat things on the news and you have this constant barrage of stuff coming at you, and this is what they do, you see. And so they did this in Venezuela, and they tried to make out that there was this big movement against Chavez, and it was all nonsense. Okay, there was a little group. Okay, and they were funded by an American organization. They were friends of people who, you know, stood to lose by Chavez being in charge, because Chavez was a champion of the poor people in Venezuela. Okay, and yes, they did. They did become militant, and there were some conflicts, but it was totally exaggerated. And then they actually kidnapped him. They went in and they kidnapped the elected leader of the country. And you know, CNN and these news agencies tried to spin that as if that was some sort of movement of rebellion and dissent from some massive group, and it wasn't. It was this little group who managed to get military assistance, and they, you know, eventually had to let him go because the vast population was against it. Now, what I think with Iran, I think it's similar. I think that, yes, there is a resistance against Ahmadinejad, and I don't think he's a perfect individual. I think I'm sure that there's a lot wrong with the government there, just like there is with Castro in Cuba, just like there is with many different countries in the world. But the people of Iran will never bow down. I really do believe that they will not bow down to the Western imperialists. And I think this will fail. Okay, that's my gut feeling about it. I think it's just, it's being portrayed in a certain way to convey an impression. And we have to see what's going to happen. We don't know.
Look, all I know is from history, like you said before, Iran has never been an aggressor. You know, yeah, Ahmadinejad, he spruces off with his mouth, and he's an absolute knob, really. So is Bush, and so is all of them. And what we really to understand my main goal in life, and doing this radio show is for the constant push for peace in this world, and the minimizing of government, because governments are the ones that wage war.
Peace and truth.
And truth, you know, and a lot of Iranians, they're very switched on. They're very, very switched on people. The people are good people, just like the Americans are good people. And it's these elites at the top who play these ridiculous games to try and just basically sell more arms. And that's why it's good to step back from the fear, this ridiculous fear, and get some perspective into what these secret societies, including the CIA and stuff, get up to.
I couldn't agree more. We're kind of running to the end. It's been a superb experience doing the show tonight, as always.
Yes, folks, remember to leave comments.
Comments, and you know, let us know if you'd like to join the show. If you have some expert knowledge that's relevant to anything we've said, certainly get in contact with us.
You can do that by www.truthnews.com.au, and may truth set your mind free.
Good night.